The Opal Serpent by Fergus Hume. Chapter 1. Don Quixote in London. Simon Beecot was a country gentleman with a small income, a small estate, and a mind considerably smaller than either. He dwelt at Wargrove in Essex, and spent his idle hours, of which he possessed a daily and nightly 24, in snarling at his faded wife and in snapping between whiles at his son. Mrs. Beecot, having been bullied into old age long before her time, accepted sour looks and hard words as necessary to God's providence. But Paul, a fiery youth, resented useless nagging. He owned more brain power than his progenitor, and to this favoring of nature, paterfamilias naturally objected. Paul also desired fame, which was likewise a crime in the fireside tyrant's eyes. As there were no other children, Paul was heir to the Beecot acres. Therefore their present proprietor suggested that his son should wait with idle hands for the falling in of the heritage. In plain words, Mr. Beecot, coming of a long line of middle-class loafers, wished his son to be a loafer also. Again, when Mrs. Beecot retired to a tearful rest, her bully found Paul a useful person on whom to expend his spleen. Should this whipping boy leave, Mr. Beecot would have to forego this enjoyment, as servants object to being sworn at without cause. For years, Mr. Beecot indulged in bouts of bad temper, till Paul, finding 25 too dignified of an age to tolerate abuse, announced his intention of storming London as a scribbler. The parents objected in detail. Mrs. Beecroft, after her kind, dissolved in tears, and made reference to the young birds leaving the nest, while her husband, puffed out like a frog, redder than the wattles of a turkey cock, exhausted himself in well-chosen expressions. Paul increased the use of these by fixing a day for his departure. The female Beecot retired to bed with the assistance of a maid, burnt feathers and sal volatile, and the male, as a last and clinging argument, figuratively buttoned up his pockets. "Not one shilling will you get from me," said Beecot senior, with the graceful addition of vigorous adjectives. "I don't ask for money," said Paul, keeping his temper, for after all, the turkey cock was his father. "I have saved £50, not out of my pocket money," he added hastily, seeing further objections on the way. "I earned it by writing short stories." "The confounded mercantile instinct," snorted paterfamilias, only he used stronger words. "Your mother's uncle was in trade. Thank heaven none of my people ever used hands or brains. The Beecots lived like gentlemen." "I should say like cabbages from your description, father." "No insolence, sir. How dare you disgrace your family? Writing tales, indeed. Rubbish, I expect." And here several adjectives. "And you took money, I'll be bound. Ah." "I've just informed you that I took all I could get," said Beecot Jr. quietly. "I'll live in town on my savings. When I make a name and a fortune, I'll return." "Never, never," gobbled the turkey cock. "If you descend to the gutter, you can wallow there. I'll cut you out of my will." "Very good, sir, that's settled. Let us change the subject." But the old gentleman was too high-spirited to leave well alone. He demanded to know if Paul knew to whom he was talking, inquired if he had read the Bible touching the duties of children to their parents, instanced the fact that Paul's dear mother would probably pine away and die, and ended with a pathetic reference to losing the prop of his old age. Paul listened respectfully and held to his own opinion. In defense of the same, he replied in detail. "I am aware that I talk to my father, sir," said he with spirit. "You never allow me to forget that fact. If another man spoke to